Garrett Graves joins us live via telephone. Mr. Graves, as always, good to hear from you.
Hey, good to talk to y'all. How y'all doing?
Pretty good. Now, are you in the district today, or are you in Washington?
Yes, sir, in the district. Actually headed to Walker right now.
Well, then you're aware of the recent development in one of the stories we talked with you about last week, the resignation of Bob Mirabito from the Capital Area Transit System.
Yes, I did see that.
Well, I'd love to hear your reaction.
You know, I think that number one, bottom line is that we've got to have change. From what I gather, it seems that Katz has a bureaucratic management structure and council process that's involved. I think that this is an opportunity for us to take a fresh look at that structure to make sure that the changes that need to be made can be made as quickly as possible. I think this is an opportunity for us to actually consider privatizing the transit system to some degree and compare other options rather than continuing down this process of where we're just dumping good money after bad and not delivering an appropriate service to the folks who rely upon transit, and obviously just fleecing taxpayers with a waste of money that could be put toward measures that are really going to improve the traffic problems in the Capital Region.
And again, I know you're not directly involved with this process, but are we also one of the things Bob Mirabito did, even to his detractors, was he discovered theft, he discovered fraud, he discovered employee time wasting, and took some corrective measures. Is there not an equal opportunity to send this back to the way it was pre-Mirabito, where basically it was just kind of where people went to hang out and collect a big paycheck?
Well, look, I will tell you that we've got to make sure that we're vigilant and don't slide backwards and that we actually move forward. And Bill, in regard to what you said, look, I want to be clear. I have been in touch with Katz leadership now for months. I will tell you that I have heard a lot of positive comments about Bob and his style and some of the things that he's been done, and perhaps the problem here is the bureaucratic management structure of the organization in regard to the committees and councils and others that are required to act before changes can be made. I don't know. All I know is what we talked about last week, and that is the fact that the transit system is a waste of money. We're driving empty buses around, empty trolleys around. I think you all might have seen that in recent months, within the last few years, we've spent in some months as much as $2.4 million in one month while only recovering about $120,000 from riders in terms of fares. That type of bleeding is absolutely unsustainable, and it just goes to show that the money can be invested in ways that deliver better results in regard to reducing congestion.
We are talking with our Congressman Garrett Graves, our regular weekly visit. Thanks for staying with us, sir. I understand you were at the state capitol yesterday. What went on?
Well, yesterday there was a big rally related to the oil and gas industry. And as you know, we've lost about 25% of the oil and gas jobs in the state of Louisiana, one of the biggest pillars of our economy, in about the last 14 months. And so there was a rally talking about some of the challenges the energy industry has been experiencing, talking about the jobs and the economic activity associated with that industry and really the importance to the state of Louisiana. It's important to keep in mind one of the biggest reasons we're having state budget challenges right now is because of the low energy prices that are out there and the influence it has on the economy here. So we've been fighting at the federal level trying to improve some of our federal policy challenges. We lifted the oil export ban in December, which allows us, Louisiana, to begin exporting oil. And we've been really trying to adjust the competitive climate for domestic energy production compared to how it's occurring in other countries. And quite frankly, it's important for us to pay close attention to this because even the state of Texas, in some cases, has a more competitive tax climate in regard to severance payments and things like that than Louisiana does.
So when we look at our overall energy picture, are we going to see some legislation that we need to really, really fight? You know, we've talked about this with coal. We've talked about with the oil and offshore oil and gas royalties and what the feds are trying to do. Where are we in terms of the halls of Congress right now?
Well, you know, there is an energy bill that has moved through the House of Representatives There's an energy bill that they're trying to move through the Senate, but is running into all sorts of procedural problems. It's tied up in this whole Flint, Michigan water issue has really held that bill up from moving forward. But look, Bill, the reality is, in the type of climate that we're in right now, where you have a president that is, on the one hand, saying he has an all-of-the-above energy strategy, but in reality doing everything he can to make these companies go bankrupt that are producing oil and gas and coal and other things that the United States has an abundance of, it's going to be very difficult for us to come to an agreement on reasonable energy policy. So what's been happening more than anything else has been we've been fighting a lot of these regulatory proposals that the administration has been putting up. We have had some wins, like lifting the oil export ban. But it's really remarkable, Bill, because just yesterday, the president was out there talking about how, you know, all these companies that are leaving the United States are bad corporate citizens. But the reality is, we are operating in a global economy. We have got to be competitive, and we cannot have the president out there raising taxes, raising fees, increasing regulatory compliance costs, and expecting us to be able to thrive here in the United States. We are operating in a global economy, and he just doesn't seem to get that.
And I noticed, I listened to part of his comments yesterday, and it seemed like he wanted to criminalize the idea of moving your business elsewhere because you wanted to escape an onerous tax system.
You know, Kevin, we talked about this months ago on here. Well, on the one hand, the president was out there last year talking about how he wanted trade promotion authority. He wanted the ability to negotiate free trade agreements. You can't go and negotiate free trade agreements and expect the United States workforce to prosper and succeed if you're tying their hands behind their back by higher tax costs, by higher labor costs and compliance, higher regulation related to the environment and other things, and have us competing with these other countries that don't have these same anti-competitive regulations out there. You can't have both. It's one or the other. And I think the president is just beginning to understand that by over-regulating us and over-taxing us makes us uncompetitive out there on these global markets. It's not the company's fault. It's the administrative policies, the executive orders, and the regulations that are challenging our ability, that are challenging our economy, and challenging our ability to be successful and prosper.
The recurring theme I'm getting from this administration is they keep, you know, he refers to oil and gas as yesterday's energy, but there is no tomorrow's energy developed. I mean, wind, solar, those aren't viable yet.
You know, look, I am very supportive of alternative energy, to you know, and whether it's wind, solar, hydro, and other things. But there's a cost competitiveness issue that's relevant. We can't just go out there and subsidize these things to where, you know, we're spending billions or trillions of dollars subsidizing them. I support the technologies, and I appreciate the fact that they're advancing, but we're going to break our economy. And again, if we're paying that much more for energy costs or tax costs because we're subsidizing these alternative energy costs, then it makes us uncompetitive on a global scale. And so it's a flawed approach, mm-hmm. but we've got to be very careful about continuing,
Mr. Graves,
it threatens our economy.